Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. First Sunday morning message on the brand new Polish pulpit. I do have a message for all the children and all those who are mischievous in the congregation. There is a lock on this pulpit. There are no notes in there. There's no money in there. No private possessions. It's empty. So don't break the lock. I know you kids. Proverbs, I trust you. I just know you. Proverbs, I'm not used to having my arms so far out, man. It'll make you look more authoritative, you know? Look in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23 through the end of the chapter. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the good Sunday school lesson and for the wisdom that we get from your word. I pray that you would help us to put into practice the things that we've heard, especially, Lord, in my personal conviction in the area of prayer. I pray that you would help both myself and others to pray more. Lord, if you needed to pray like you did, we much more need to pray. Lord, I pray that you would make us men and women of prayer, that we might get a hold of you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless your word today as it goes out, and Lord, that only you know the hearts of the people in this room today, and only you know how to touch their hearts, and I pray that you would be free to move. Lord, we really do want to honor you. We want to magnify you. We want to lift you up. We want to receive help and benefit and strength from you. Lord, you're the reason why we live and move and have our being, and you give us everything we have, and we are so completely indebted to you. Lord, everything we have is because of you. Lord, get honor to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4. There are several things in here that I want to bring out this morning. There was an open meeting a couple of weeks ago where I had read a passage of scripture out of the book of Nehemiah, and the passage, I'm not going to turn to Nehemiah and read it again, but the passage just kind of struck me because Nehemiah, while he was building the wall, had also instructed the people, because of the opposition from the outside, to also be armed at the same time and carry swords. So all of the masons, all of the bricklayers, all of the other workers and the different construction trades that they had out there doing the work were all armed. They were all ready to go. They were all ready to drop their bricks at a moment's notice and run to the sound of the trumpet in order to defend what they were doing. You know, it's a blessing when you see somebody with conviction doing something that they really believe in. You know, and sometimes not even necessarily just spiritual, but, I mean, you find some people, they expend a tremendous amount of time and energy doing things that they wholeheartedly believe in. And I don't always agree with people. I don't agree with environmentalists. In fact, if you read up on environmentalists, you'll notice that a lot of things that environmentalists do are motivated by witchcraft, or motivated by the Wicca religion. And so it's the worship of nature and the worship of the earth. But what an amazing thing that somebody, because of conviction and somebody because an idea, would crawl up into a redwood tree and sleep on a piece of plywood for so long, you know, to defend what they believe in. You know, I've got a lot of respect in that sense for somebody who will go that far to act on what they believe in. Hey, at least they're doing something about what they believe. At least they're not just sitting at their couch at home and complaining about things. They're actually doing something. Now, I wholeheartedly... a complete and total waste of their life. A tree is not worth your life. A tree is going to get burned up anyway. You know, but there are some things worth believing in, aren't there? I wouldn't necessarily put my whole energy and life and being into saving a tree or saving an owl or saving some nature or something somewhere. But, you know, I do believe there are some things in life worth living for. And I am so thankful, first of all, that Jesus Christ saved me. Amen. You know, I would recommend, if you're not saved, I would recommend Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, no reservations whatsoever. He changed my life. He gave me a reason to live. You know, it would have been enough if he'd have just saved my soul and then taken me right there on the spot and taken me up to heaven to be with him. But he has left me and he's left you on this earth to be something, to do something, to make an impact. And I look back at Nehemiah and I see those guys and they had conviction that that wall was what they were supposed to do. They had a word from God to go do what they were doing. And they believed in it so wholeheartedly that they were willing to pick up a sword and to defend what they have. You know, yesterday or early this morning is the time change, and there were, I think the first report was 13, and now it's come to 15. One of our helicopters got shot down over Iraq, and 15 soldiers who were getting ready to go on leave and take a little R&R were shot down and killed. You know, I'm thankful for men and women who will fight for freedom. Amen. You know, we are beneficiaries today. You got a lot of people in the news, hey man, get those guys out of there. But you know something? I'm thankful for that. Because I really see a direct tie with fighting terrorism and our freedom here. I believe we'd have had more attacks if we hadn't have been so aggressive to defend what we believe. We probably would have had more and more devastating attacks. If we'd have rolled over and played dead, that would have given them the green light to go ahead and do all sorts of things. So I think that this freedom that we enjoy here this morning, I don't think you ought to take it lightly. I don't think you ought to take it for granted. You ought to thank God for it. And you ought to thank the men and women that are putting their lives on the line so that we can have freedom. By the way, I think freedom's important. Now, even if we didn't have freedom, we've got something even more valuable than that to live for. We've got something greater than a tree. We've got something even greater than freedom. Because I'll tell you something. Back in the apostles' day, we lift up the disciples. Were the disciples free? They didn't live in a free country. They were under military occupation. Paul had some terrible times. He was whipped a couple of times just because of this Roman occupation of this land and this desperate struggle between the Jews and between the Romans and going back and forth. And so they did not have the freedom that we enjoy. And yet they set the foundations for the church. Amen. You know what I believe? I believe that there is something greater to live for than freedom. In fact, the greatest thing that you could possibly live for is Jesus Christ. There is no higher purpose in life. There is no goal more worth living for. There are a lot of good things happening in this city today. There's a lot of guys out there that are trying to keep kids off drugs. There are people out there trying to improve the schools. There are people that have crusades, and there are people that will line up all the way down San Pedro to save unborn babies. But you know, to live for Jesus Christ is the greatest and the most thrilling occupation anybody could ever have. You know, this verse right here, it talks about it. And you know, I'm all for defending our freedom, but we ought to defend this belief, this direction, this idea with our lives. I'm amazed at how many Christians get distracted. And they throw away the greatest reason worth living for. They just simply put it to the side, and it's something that it's a little part of their life, but it's not their main reason for living. It's just incredible. But in this passage right here, it starts out in verse 23 with the word keep. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There are some reasons we ought to guard some things. There are some reasons in this passage right here. I'm going to tell you right now what I'm going to focus on this morning, what this passage focuses on, things that we ought to guard and why we should guard them. Number one, it says, keep your heart. In other words, we ought to guard our hearts. I'll explain that in a minute. It says in verse 23, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. We ought to put a guard on our lips. We ought to guard our lips. I'll tell you why in a minute. Verse 25 said, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Oh, man, we ought to guard our eyes. I think in every store, they ought to have blinders for men. You know? Man, we ought to guard our eyes. There's a reason for it, and I'll tell you in a minute. Look at verse 26. It says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Man, you ought to guard your feet. You ought to be careful what those feet do and where those feet take you. It's important. Why? I'll tell you why we ought to guard these certain things. For one reason, and for one reason alone, is that you and I do not live on this earth for our own purpose or for ourselves. We are here because of someone else. Our purpose is to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Our purpose is to fulfill His commission, is to fulfill His dreams, is to fulfill His goals, is to please Him. We're servants for Jesus Christ. We have the highest calling known to men, and that's to serve Him. I hear people all the time, they complain about the country, they complain about this. We just had some people come in from New Hampshire and they were describing to us how dark it is in the New England area. You know, not all the mission fields are overseas, by the way. That's right. And in a New England area, how far somebody has to drive just to find a good church. You know, in this one city, we've got a bunch of good churches. I can right off the bat list you four or five good solid churches, Oaknall being the best, in this town right here, where you can go to just in case you thought about leaving. You want the best, you got to stay here. But you know, if for some reason this church dissolved, there are some good churches in this town. I've recommended people to some of them. Well, I can't go to this your church because of this reason, that reason. Well, you know what? There's a pastor over here. This is the name of his church. Go see him. You'll be blessed and you'll grow there. But you know, there's certain places in New England where that's not the case. Man, it's dark there. And man, we need to do something in that area. I'll tell you what some Christians do is they say, you know what, there are no churches around here. Nothing's being done. We're out of here. And so what do? They move to the south or they move somewhere else. It's amazing how many missionaries are in very, very hospitable climates, you know. How few missionaries go to places like Siberia or like Poland or like places like that. You know, people like to be where it's comfortable. But you know, I thank God for their vision because they want to stay there. And they're praying that God would start a church right there. You know something? If it's dark, that's exactly the place a Christian needs to be. If there are no other Christians around, that's all the much more reason to stay in that place. I've heard people complain, man, I don't have any Christian fellowship in my job. Well, you know, that's probably a good thing, and that's probably why God put you there. My point is that we are not here on this earth just to get up in the morning, eat our breakfast, go to work, come home, eat dinner, go to sleep, start it over again. We have a reason for living. And believe me, we better be effective at doing what God has called us to do. We can't afford just to simply go through life and be normal like everybody else. But so many Christians get distracted and get deluded and get caught off into other paths, and they no longer are effective for what God has called them to do. Effective in other areas, maybe, but not in the gospel's sake. You know, there's some things worth protecting. Now let's look at the heart for a minute. Because a heart, if you don't treat your heart right, you can actually put yourself out of any effectiveness for God whatsoever. Remember Solomon. We won't go to the verses for the sake of time. But Solomon in his early years, was Solomon, what was the greatest thing Solomon was known for? What book was it that he wrote that was more known than anything else about what he wrote? Huh? Song of Solomon, and what else? Proverbs. Isn't that the book of wisdom? Oh, Solomon, he got before the Lord, and the Lord gave him a blank check, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Man, I'm telling you what, it's kind of like a genie in a bottle. You know, you get three wishes, and I'll fulfill these three wishes. And old Solomon, he says, man, he says, I could ask, he didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for money, he didn't ask for power. But he knew that he was going to have to lead the country of Israel, this mighty nation. And he said, Lord, give me wisdom to judge your people. And the Lord gave it to him, didn't he? But you know, Solomon had a little problem. He started giving his heart to some strange women. He was okay for a while. He did real good. He continued to be the wisest man on earth. He made good decisions. He had a kingdom that was known for its peace. He made peace with all the enemies around. But over the course of time, because he gave his heart to something else, because he gave his dreams and his desires to something else, when he was older, that very thing came to be a thorn in his flesh. And he gave his heart to strange women, and it didn't mean that they were strange, you know, personality or anything. It meant that they were not the kind of women God would want a king of Israel to have, and they worshiped other gods. And like Linda was saying this morning, you think you can handle some things? You've got to realize you may not be able to handle some things. We've got to guard our heart. He says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what I think spiritually? I think right here in this room, there are a couple people that are this close to having a spiritual heart attack, to having spiritual heart failure, because they're not guarding their hearts. Do you know how prone our hearts are to wonder? You know, there's a tremendous, what's the number one killer right now in the United States? It's heart disease. At least I hope. The statistics that I read, it's heart disease. You know, that's one of the number one killers for Christians, too. It's heart disease. You ever start getting hard of heart? What happens when your heart starts getting hard? You stop caring, don't you? That's a natural defense mechanism, almost, that your heart will get hard so that you don't care, so that you don't have to feel, so that you don't have to expend any kind of energy. And what is the worst thing in the world is to run across somebody that has a hard heart. You know, how in the world can we serve God's purpose with a hard heart? You know who we have to give the gospel to? We have to give the gospel to people that are unlovely, unkind, rude. We have to give the gospel to people that do not like us, but that God is going to save some of them for His honor's sake. He's going to save some of them. So if we get hard, what happens to our goal? What happens to our reason for living? If we get caught up in and we lose our compassion. Now, there's a kind of compassion that's not good, but, you know, I'm telling you, there are some warning signs for a heart attack. You start getting numbness in your limbs. You know, that's a good indication. I was talking to someone just the other day that was complaining of a lot of pain in their chest and a lot of tightness in their neck and their arm was getting real numb. And I said, man, you got to get to a doctor, man. I'm not a doctor. I don't have a medical background, but it's probably just indigestion or something. Yeah, it might be, man, but don't take a chance. Same thing for a Christian. You find something nasty there in your heart, don't take a chance, man. Clean it out. Let me tell you what God says in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This passage is especially for anybody in here today who is a goody two-shoes. You know who you are. You've already told us. Are you self-righteous? Are you one of those kind of people that look down on their nose at other people? Think you're better than they are? Think you're more holy? more spiritual. Because you don't do that nasty stuff. You know, you don't do that despicable stuff. But look at what God says about the heart. Mark chapter 7, and he says in verse 18, he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out with the draught, purging all meats. And he says, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, man, I wish the list would stop, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and they defile a man. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17 that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? You know, let me tell you something about your heart. The most depraved and the nastiest stuff in the world doesn't come from outside. It comes from inside. I'll tell you why I'm preaching this, is because when I was preaching on Nehemiah, in my mind, as I was talking about precious things that I needed to guard and that I needed to protect and that I needed to make sure that the devil didn't steal from me, at that point in time, it never really occurred to me to guard the things that come out of my own self. I was looking kind of on the outside. Let me tell you something. Our main problem today is not the media. The media is not our main problem. The pornographers out there are not the main problem. The internet out there is not the main problem. Other social problems out there are not the main problem. Even if we eradicated everything, we've still got to deal with our own hearts. A heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, the Bible says. Who can know it? Jesus says those things that come from the outside, they're not what defile you, but that which comes from the inside. The Bible gives us some good advice. He says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what I would say? I would say one of the greatest battles we've got to have is to keep our hearts focused, to keep loving what God loves, to keep hating what God hates. You know how easy it is to have a tug of war with God. You've got something in your hands that God says to him is an abomination. He can't even smell it without getting sick. And yet you're holding it like some precious thing. And you're asking the Lord if you can just have a little bit of it. And it's going back like a tug of war. You know, it's easy to love some things that God hates. That's why you got to guard your heart. Find out what God loves. And determine that you're going to love those same things. You know what I know? I remember as a young Christian, someone told me, they say, you know, you can talk yourself into loving just about anybody. You know, I found that to be true. This idea that somebody can be married for a long time and say, well, you know, I just don't love her anymore. No, you know what? You decided not to, is the case. But you know, your heart, you can cause your heart to go out and love some things that will so completely take you away from God. You know, we need to guard our hearts. Look back there in Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, back in chapter 4. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, your heart is a powerful tool in the hands of the Lord. Think about what Paul said in the book of Romans. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Do you think that there might have been something driving Paul to do what he was doing? Some inner motivation that was causing him to do what he did? And in his heart, he wanted Israel to be saved. What's in your heart today? What are among your greatest loves today? What are the things that you live for? You know, it's a good idea to take inventory. But then not only that, in verse 24, it says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. I tell you something just as important. If you're going to have impact for God, if you're going to do something and fulfill God's purpose, you got to watch what you say. That's another guard. I've got to guard my heart, but I've also got to guard my speech. Anybody ever said the wrong thing on purpose? We lie and we go back later on, brother, I said that and I really didn't mean it. You know, you're still in sin because you're still lying. The truth is you meant it then, you still mean it now, and you're just in trouble. That's why you're trying to make things right. But you know, our speech can get us into tremendous trouble. We have people, man, I'm telling you, I'm not even going to give that illustration. Thank you. My wisdom says no. But you know, our lips can get us into tremendous trouble. In this verse right here, it focuses on the negative. It says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. But look at James chapter 3 for a minute. James chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, with though they be great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Man, who can worry about all the external evil out there when you've got a tongue sitting in your mouth? I mean, notice how he describes this little, I don't know how much a tongue weighs, but it doesn't weigh very much. That little tongue, and of course he's not just talking about that little slimy piece of meat in there. He's talking about your speech, the things that you say. He's talking about the things that come out of your mouth, the words that come out. And he says, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. My enemy is my own tongue. My downfall is my own heart. My downfall is my own tongue. And if I'm going to put a flaming sword out there to guard something and keep it right and keep it holy and keep it just, I've got to guard my tongue. And so do you. Some of the greatest problems in an assembly caused by something that was said. Isn't that amazing? You say something. Now, if someone in the congregation is not guarding their tongue, and they say something offensive to someone who is guarding their heart, the person who's guarding their heart is not going to be offended. You know what I think we need? I think we need a little more of the spirit. I think we need to lighten up on some things concerning ourselves. Let me explain to you what I mean. If somebody insults you, and you're guarding your heart, you know what? You're going to be able to laugh it off. What's the big deal? Laughing. Men can do it easier, you know? Men insult each other so much, and we say things so freely, you know, and 5 minutes later, we've forgotten it. You know, we say all kinds of things about, you stupid idiot, this and that, man. And 5 minutes later, you know, you're sharing iced tea together, you know, and you're laughing and you're talking. Women aren't that way, you know. The women will come up and say, well, did you see how she looked at me? What does she mean by that? Listen. There are no secret meanings with guys, you know, because they turn their head a certain way, because they wink their eye a certain way. You know, a man is what a man is. OK, there is nothing hidden there. But the women are trying to decipher it all. And what did they mean? And what did they do? And she said this, but she really meant this, you know. I just had to get that little plug in. OK, and nothing to do with the message, but I had to get that in. I'll get it off my chest. Hey, but the truth is, those words carry a lot of power, don't they? Someone opens that mouth and snip, 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 snip. And soon a family is, man, they're gone and they're offended and they're everything else. Just because of a couple of words. Well, what if we decided to guard that tongue? What if we decided that instead of living for our own desire to speak our own mind, that we were going to turn around and actually use that tongue for the glory of God? If it is a rudder that turns a ship, if it is a bit in a horse's mouth that turns the whole entire horse, if we put that thing into the hands of God, what could we do? Amen. Lord, this is your tongue. I want to say things that glorify you. You know, then you're fulfilling your purpose. You can be sitting down at work, and if you have a tongue that is surrendered to the will of Jesus Christ, you can bless that person at the desk next to you. How many opportunities have we lost because we don't guard our tongue, because we don't watch what we say, and we don't plan ahead to be able to say something good that might turn someone towards Christ? Our tongues. That's where it's at. We have got to have speech that honors the Lord. Speech that defends His character. Christians have no business moaning and complaining. We really don't. We don't have business. Now, there are times when we can state the facts, you know, and things look bleak. We can say that they look bleak, but a lot of the things that we talk about do not honor the Lord. I remember at one place I was at, I used to love to get this guy because he complained so much. And by Thursday, I was going, only four more days, man. And Friday, three more days, man, three more days. What are you talking about? Because he was talking about Friday night and partying and everything. And his nickname was Cowboy. And I said, Cowboy, only three more days. And he said, what? I said, Monday. You're sick, Tebow, you're sick. I'd come in on Monday, I'd say, man, a new day, beginning of the week, new opportunities, new mercies. Man, let's get to work. You are disgusting, Tebow. You really are. But you know, I believe I honored the Lord with that little. You know, I could have let his complaining get to me. You know, it happened one time. I actually lost a job because I listened to someone else's downer mouth and I started getting ideas in my head. It affected my work. I actually lost a job because I got a bad attitude. It really surprised me. I didn't realize how fast somebody else's bad attitude could affect me. And yet I had the power simply by what I said to be able to turn the situation around. And would to God I could go back and take every opportunity that I could have said something to bring honor to the Lord's name. I wish I could go back and change it, but I can't. But you know what I can do? I can realize how dangerous the tongue is, how much of a weapon it can be, but how much of a tool in the hands of the Lord it could be. Have you surrendered your tongue lately to the Lord? Verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight on before thee. Tell you, a big problem is eyes. Men have a big problem with eyes, by the way. Women aren't the ones that are ogling men all over the place. Some women are, but most of them don't. But you know what? Amen. Amen. You know, I think it's the most disrespectful thing. A man is walking with his wife, and some pretty girl walks by, and he goes like this. Oh, I'm just looking. I'm just appreciating the natural beauty of the woman. You liar. You are a lustful pervert, and you're a liar besides. Do you know what I know? I know that you can look at your wife and be more enraptured with her than any other woman on the face of this earth. I know it can work. God can give you a love that goes so far beyond that you don't see the wrinkles, you don't see the warts, you don't see the stretch marks. I'll stop the list there. Thank you very much. My wife said one time, honey, you just know that my body's not like those in the books and all that. And I said, well, yeah, maybe not. But I'll tell you something. Your body bore my four children. To me, that deserves honor. And I know that woman, and I can say honestly that well, she turns me on. She's cute, you know. She's a hot mama. But let me tell you something. Okay. Get those visions and images out of your mind now. Let's get back to the message. But I tell you what you got to do to get that. You got to put some blinders on.
Amen.
Now, if I don't have blinders on, then I may not think that my wife is a hot mama anymore. And I might think that that thing over there is, or that that girl over there is. The Bible says that you got to keep your eyes on what you've got to keep your eyes on. And that's just an illustration. It goes for other things as well. Do you understand and realize how covetous we are? Do you know, I don't understand shopping in malls. I don't understand it. They had an article, well, and maybe it was not an article, maybe it was a little comic strip or something. Those to me are articles. Sometimes them comic strips say more than the articles do. But it says, what a man does in the mall. And it shows an X by the entrance. He goes straight to the pants section, goes straight to 34 waist, 32 length, grabs a pair, pays for them, walks out the same way. A woman goes in to buy a pair of shoes. She goes into the apparel store, then she goes into the record store, then she goes all through all these places, and then she finally gets her shoes and she goes out. You know, I don't understand. If you don't have money in your pocket, what are you doing in the store? My wife got so mad at HEB because they turned all the things around. She says, man, the deodorant isn't anywhere where it's supposed to be. But why do they do that? Do they do that to force you to walk down other aisles so that you can see things with your eyes, so that you can lust after those things and say, oh, I need that. And the truth is, you don't. There's some certain things we just shouldn't be busy looking at. And I'll tell you something else, not just simply physically. If you would limit your eyesight, then you would save yourself a whole lot of problems. If there was a way that I could go back and get all of the wicked images that my eyes have ever seen, not just in passing, but because of my own volition, if I could go back and get them out. But your mind is a digital camera, and it doesn't erase any film, and it's there for eternity, and you can't remember a Bible verse, but you can remember something that you've seen way back there that you shouldn't have seen. Isn't that amazing? But you know, even more, you ought to guard your eyes. You ought to guard your vision. Our vision is precious. Ask Sister Connie how precious vision is. Getting through with those operations with her eyes and had a terrible time with the second one. All to restore vision. Vision is precious. Man, if I was getting ready to lose my sight, I'd be all over the place trying to find doctors to save my sight so that I could see. But you know, even going beyond just physical sight, how about your spiritual vision? You know what really amazes me is so few Christians have any vision at all of anything. They have no desire, no long-term goals, no dreams, no hopes. You know, I thank God for some people in this church because you have got a vision to do something. Whether you visit, whether you do something to help make the church a better place to meet and to worship in, whether you go out and you start a Bible study, you go out and try to win a neighbor to the Lord, you go and you knock on a door somewhere, you visit someone in a nursing home, you go by and bring comfort and encouragement and blessing to someone in the assembly, whatever it is, but you do something. Where's the spiritual vision? Where's the desire? You know, I'll tell you something. People with a lot of spiritual vision are offensive to everybody else. You know, I've been around people when I have not been as fired up as I ought to be, and get around somebody who's fired up, sometimes it is flat out irritating. Oh, man, what do you want to do that for? Well, man, we could do this. We could do over this over here. Old Brent, right now, you know what? That man's fired up. It's irritating. Man, we wrote 150,000 letters to all the people. I'm getting phone calls all over the place. You know, that's irritating because I got other stuff to do, you know. But you know, thank God for vision.
Amen.
Thank God that there are people with vision, that there are people with determination that are going to say, look, I'm here in this life. It might be good and it might be bad. I've got to go through this life anyway. Why not live for the glory of God? You're going to be here anyway. You've got to go through all the tribulations of life anyway. Why not decide that this life is going to be used for the glory of God? End of story. Mine eyes are looking that way. I got my eyes on Jesus Christ. I'm not turning to the left. I'm not turning to the right. I'm going to put blinders on everything else that would distract me. And I'm not going to even look at them. No window shopping in the world. I've got a dream. I've got a desire. I've got a goal. And I'm going to see that desire fulfilled. You think that would revolutionize the church? You think that'd get things fired up? If just one person on this section right here, one person over here, a sister over here, another person over here decided that would be the attitude of life, man, it'd start trickling. The people that got irritated, that didn't want to repent, they'd get out and they wouldn't be sandbagging us anymore. The other people get fired up and we might even do something for God. Because I've seen it happen. It's happening right now because the ones in the congregation that have spiritual vision are affecting those that aren't. I know it and I see it. How's your eyesight? What have your eyes been feasting on? Guard your eyes. Guard them with everything that you've got. Then verse 26, it says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Every step you take brings you closer to something. You realize that? Every step you take brings you either closer to God or it walks you farther away. Every step you take towards the world dilutes you and makes you ineffective for the mission that God has called you to do. Have you ever taken time to consider consequences of actions? We tell our kids that all the time. Parents preach to kids that, man, think about what you're doing. This is going to happen. Do you know why parents do that? Because parents know. We've been where you are. You've never been where we are. But parents know already what happens when you do that. A guy 45 years old can tell a 12-year-old kid, don't throw that rotten egg on the house because you're going to get busted by the police and you're going to get fined. He knows about those things. Sometimes even by personal experience. Well, you know, have you considered now the consequences of your spiritual actions? What you do today affects tomorrow. What you're enjoying today is a result of yesterday. Where is that path that you're walking on right now going to lead you 5 years from now? Do you have any vision? Ponder the path of your feet. Say, well, I'm just, you know, I'm taking a break and I'm dabbling in this right here. And, you know, I know that it's wrong, but so far it hasn't hurt me and I've been able to keep it under control. If you keep walking that road, where does it lead you? Where is it going to take you? See, we close our eyes to the consequences. We don't want to think about where their path goes. The Bible says that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the day. Do you know what I would say is guard your foot. Don't take a single step that you couldn't defend before the throne of God. Don't take a single step that would lead you farther away rather than closer to God. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. You know, we could even make a longer list and say you could guard this and guard that. But you know, God has given us some precious things. You know, the Bible tells us that we have this treasure, but it's in earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power might be of God and not of men. You know, I don't preach this so that we can be self-righteous and say, hey, look at how holy my tongue is. Check out my feet. Look at where they're going. But so that we can honor the Lord. Because we carry a precious substance inside of us. We carry a precious, precious, something that's worth defending. Don't let sin rip it out of your hands. Don't let self-absorption or any of those other things rip those things out of your hands. Because the truth is we may not have much longer to be effective for God. And even if you live 50 years, in the whole scheme of things, that's not very long. I look back on it now, and it seems like I've been just saved yesterday. I can't believe I've been saved over 20 years. I look back and I said, man, if I'd have realized that it was going to pass by that fast, I might have taken a little more care to get a little more done. It's amazing how fast life passes us by. I'm saying live for the honor of God. I'm saying take those things that God has given. Guard your heart. Guard your lips. Guard your feet, the places where they go. Guard your eyes. Because we got one business and one purpose in this world, and that's to live for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads for a minute. Maybe there's somebody in this room that is not saved. Let me tell you just very quickly, won't keep you here much longer. The reason why we're here is not because we tried so hard to be holy. The reason why we're here is because we are desperately, desperately wicked sinners who needed saving. We needed cleaning up. We needed to get our sins forgiven. And so we called out to the Lord Jesus Christ and we asked Him to forgive our sins. We asked Him to save our souls, and He kept His promise. He said, all that the Father give to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And we went to Him and He didn't cast us out. He cleaned us up. He made us sons and daughters. And He did a work in us. That's who we live for now. Your life isn't going anywhere, just kind of going day to day. You've never been saved. Don't miss this opportunity today to call on Jesus Christ. God's tugging on your heart. If He has convicted you of your sins, you just confess your sins to Him, cry out to Him, He will save you. That's His promise. He'll save anybody that comes to Him today. And that'd be my prayer. And if you're a Christian, Lord, help each and every one of us not to just live in this life, but to live for something, to live for purpose, to live for a reason. Help us, Lord Jesus, to guard those things that You've given to us. Help us, Lord, to honor You in our hearts, not just on the outward, but honor You in our hearts. Honor You with the things that we say, Lord, that our speech and our lips would bring You honor and glory. Lord, that our eyes would look on You and would never take our eyes off. Lord, that our feet would walk in ways that would bring You honor and glory. Lord Jesus, we love You. Oh, how we thank You for Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. We'll see you back here tonight.